here.
Good morning, Your Honors. Joe Guerra for Petitioner Mobile Pipeline Company. May it please the Court, I would request 3 minutes of rebuttal time. Your Honor's first decision in this case should be reversed because it departs without reasoned explanation from prior FERC precedent in two critical respects. First, in several prior cases, FERC has stated that an oil pipeline's ability to raise its tariff rates significantly and thereby capture a price differential is not conclusive evidence of market power. In this case, however, the Commission ruled that a netback analysis showing that Pegasus could raise its rates more than 15% above its current tariff levels and capture a regional price differential was conclusive proof of market power. And in so ruling, the Commission did not even mention its prior decisions in cases like Explorer and Longhorn, much less distinguish them despite our heavy reliance on them below. And in the Longhorn case in particular, we submit, Your Honor, is fundamentally indistinguishable. In that case, the pipeline was the sole provider between its origin and destination markets and thus had the same unique ability that Pegasus has here to capture a regional price differential. There, the Commission ruled that the origin market was competitive without requiring any netback showing about what netbacks would be available if it raised its rates, nor any showing that other entities in the market could offer Longhorn's customers a portion of the price differential.
At a threshold, you have the burden before the Commission on this, right?
We do, Your Honor.
So, without your conceding that there is an adequate explanation here, would it not be possible for the Commission, with an adequate explanation, to say that where you have made the showing you made here and it resulted in a conclusion of that sort of netback differential, that with nothing to offset it, that's still not enough by itself, nothing to augment it, that's not enough by itself to establish that you are entitled to go to a competitive rates?
No, Your Honor, I don't think they could say that because for two fundamental reasons. First, the evidence that was before them in this case that we submitted was of the same nature that it found sufficient in prior cases. And so in that circumstance,
itself doesn't cover the field. There's no inherent reason they couldn't say the evidence is there was a greater differential here, in fact, than there was in the longer one, was there not? I mean, if you did the same calculation.
But we don't know. Your Honor, one of the fundamental problems here is that the differential is a function of, it's based on what the current tariff level is. Mm-hmm. It's not a differential based above, showing that there are rates above the competitive price. But if I may, Your Honor, even if you accept the notion that this netback differential calculation is an accurate reflection, in prior cases and also under the precedent of this court and basically basic economic theory, it's still a very fundamentally relevant question whether potential competition could enter the market and check that.
You're moving to a different part of the
argument. I thought your fundamental point that was that this was a completely botched competition analysis.
Yeah. Well, we have...
I know you're making the explanation point as a narrow, but I think what the Chief Judge is getting at is that's really a easily corrected defect, if it's a defect at all. But your more fundamental point, at least as I understood it, was this whole thing was flawed in a major way in terms of basic competition principles that FERC itself has applied in past years.
Well, that's correct, Your Honor. And that is, well, just to make sure we're on the same page, are you referring to the major flaw in the netback calculation, the failure to correct for the outages in the upper Midwest, or the fundamental flaw, because there's multiple fundamental flaws?
I took your brief to suggest there's a lot of competition in the upper Midwest, in Western Canada, in getting the 26 refineries, the other sources. So that's what I read your brief to be focused on, and then you were also arguing at the beginning, and I understand this, given our precedents, it's a much narrower way to go, that there just was insufficient explanation.
Yes, Your Honor. So
that's not going to get you much, I guess, with the in the long run.
The insufficient explanation point.
Yeah.
Well, Your Honor, I think actually FERC would be hard-pressed to actually provide an adequate explanation because it's what it did here is fundamentally
Why can't they, if it was on remand, why can't they just say this is a completely different circumstance than we've had before? It's quite unique.
Your Honor, it's not unique with respect to the Explorer and Longhorn cases. That's my point. If you take this netback calculation, all it's showing is that Pegasus could raise its rate significantly above tariff rates, and nobody could check that rate, that rise. That's equally true. That's exactly the same circumstance you have in Longhorn and Explorer.
How much could they raise it in Longhorn?
I don't believe the record reflects, Your Honor, but the point is it's not in Longhorn, the commission said, the inquiry is not concerned with price increases per se. It's whether you can raise your rates by cutting back on output. Here, the FERC did not find that Pegasus had any incentive to do that. It's expanding its capacity. It doesn't control the regional price differential, and as a consequence, it has the exact opposite incentive. Its incentive is to sell at maximum capacity and capture as much of that regional price differential for as long as it can using market-based rates. And the Commission has previously said that's good. That's a positive thing for society because that signals others to enter the market, compete for that scarcity rent, and eliminate it. And yet in this case, they said, that scarcity rent's so big we can't accept it. Well, if they're going to announce a price mitigation rule, they have to explain what that rule is. And the other point, Chief Judge Sentelle, is that in Longhorn and in Explorer, the Commission did not ever say, even though you can capture, I know in Explorer it was estimated to be 50 or 75%, they did not ever say in that case, even though there's that price differential and allow you to raise your rates, we know that if you try to raise rates more than 15%, you'll lose sales. What it assumed in those cases was that if you try to raise your rates beyond the amount of the price differential, at that point, competition would come in and cut you off and you'd lose sales. That's exactly the same circumstance we have here. If Pegasus tried to raise its rates beyond the 50, 209, 369% differentials that the ALJ calculated, then competition would enter. Competition's already trying to enter and eliminate that price differential. This court has said that's a good thing. That signals to the market how to respond to meet unmet needs. Suddenly, in this case, that same signal, because it apparently was too large a number, is fatal evidence of market power.
Once you say apparently it was too large a number, you're changing the calculus back to where we started from with my question for you a while ago. If the commission does differentiate between this case and the prior, economics is not the sort of science that has to proceed with precisely the same results when you have different numbers.
No, Your Honor. Actually, I think the Edison Mission case demonstrates the contrary. There, FERC did what we're presuming it must have done here, which is to say, wait a second, we've said market-based rates and price increases are okay, but this is a number that we're not comfortable with. But in the Edison Mission case, they instituted a price mitigation rule for the same theory. And this court said, that's no good. You reversed and remanded and said, you have to explain why this doesn't frustrate the price signaling function of market-based rates.
Right.
So they would have to, they so need
we're
to.
Back to the same point we started from, that there's not enough explanation.
There's not enough
it's not what they've done. It's whether the explanation is adequate.
Your Honor,
they can't explain.
That's my point.
Yeah.
They can't. The only way they can explain this is that to announce a fundamental change in their market-based rate policies, or to and if they're going to do that, they can't do it sub silentio.
Careful what you ask for.
Your Honor, this is why this case is important, though. This is a significant case for the industry, and if they're changing their policies, they need to state a rationale so that we can take that on head on. The other thing that they deviated from, Your Honor, and I was going there a little while ago, is the import of future competition. In this case, they said it's only a tiebreaker in close cases and otherwise irrelevant. They cite no authority.
Not all they said was.
I believe that is
they
all.
They also say they were not going to look at potential competition that was more than 2 years out.
Your Honor, that is not what the commission itself said. That's what the ALJ said.
The ALJ, and while they do not explicitly adopt that phrasing from the ALJ, it would not be much of a stretch to say they at least implicitly did so, would it?
Well, Your Honor, I think under this court and other courts' case law, that to say for the reasons discussed above means for the reasons we're telling you, not for reasons that we haven't mentioned but that were in the ALJ's decision. But even if you want to assume that they were implicitly relying on it, that two-year window logic of the ALJ's is economically irrational because she tied the start of the clock to the close of the administrative record in this case. The fundamental inquiry is, can somebody come in and compete with you within a two-year period? The two-year period has to run from when you can start charging market-based rates. And it's undisputed here that she tied it to an earlier date.
There's no way to tell that Keystone, at least, I don't know about the other potential pipeline, can be in business in 2 years from whenever you start the clock, is.
Well, that is, if anyone reading the papers would know that, yes, Your Honor. Yeah. But my point...
I mean, I hate to read the newspapers.
I hated to read that in the newspapers. But I will say this, Your Honor. The propriety of the determination by FERC here has to be based on the actual record that was before it. And if there is a remand, and we think there ought to be...
anything in the record that showed there would be such competition within 2 years?
That was what the record showed. If the 2 years is measured from...
The record was wrong?
The record turned out... That's not uncommon, Your Honor.
That's only one aspect, right, of the competition?
That's absolutely correct, Judge Kavanaugh. We've also...
potential in the actual, in this case, I think.
That's right. This price differential is a function of prices in two different markets, and there was very strong evidence of refinery expansions in the upper Midwest market, which would squeeze the differential.
They were already underway.
That's correct.
That is a different part of the question, though, than this.
That's correct. And that was the commission also deemed that irrelevant, which makes no economic sense. So you've got a situation in which the commission is basically changing the rules of the road on an applicant that has relied on clear precedent about what market-based rates are supposed to do, how they're supposed to function, what evidence you need to put in to demonstrate that they're permissible. And now suddenly it's saying, without really explaining itself, it's saying you can't charge whatever you want. And then future competition we now deem is relevant only as a tiebreaker. That's fundamentally inconsistent not only with FERC's own precedent, but with your precedent and with basic economic treatises as well. Your Honor, if I may turn to the miscalculation of the data just briefly, because I do want to reserve the balance of my time. We submit that it's fundamentally arbitrary and capricious for an agency to say, we know that there were events that had likely had a significant impact on the values that we are using to compare against another set of values, and there's no showing that any other events had a offsetting effect on the other value that we're going to compare, and yet we don't want to be bothered with accounting for that reality because we prefer unadjusted market data. That this court has already said that FERC can't blind itself to real-world events when it's making a relative comparison between two values, and that's precisely what the commission did here with respect to the upper Northwest, the effects of the BP outages on the upper Midwest oil prices. With the court's permission, I'd like to reserve the balance of my time.
Unless my colleagues have questions, thank you, counsel. We'll hear from the respondent.
Good morning. Lona Perry for the commission. I would like to start with the question of the commission's precedent and why it is that it is not at all inconsistent in this case.
How about why they didn't even discuss Longhorn or Williams or Explorer? They weren't even mentioned.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I didn't.
How about the fact that they didn't even discuss Explorer or Williams or Longhorn, let alone distinguish them?
Well, Your Honor, in the first place, the ALJ did discuss Explorer and Longhorn. And let me just say one thing with respect to this. The issue with whether or not there were netback analyses performed in Longhorn and Explorer was not raised until their reply brief. And so we had no opportunity in our brief to address this, but I will address it now. And with respect to the competition point, to whether or not you can rely on a price differential to show that there is market power. The ALJ did address that point at paragraph 86, your joint appendix at 1096, and she said that Longhorn is distinguishable from this case because in Longhorn, the commission found that there was competition. And there was competition not only in the destination market, which was El Paso, which had five pipelines that were providing deliveries, but there was also competition in the origin market, which is the equivalent of the market that we are talking about here.
But there are loads of competition in the origin market here.
The loads of competition,
there are other refineries, there are refinery expansions, there are the refineries in the upper Midwest, there are the other places for the Western Canada oil to go. This just struck me as being contrary to the basic facts on the ground as described in the record, which was there's all sorts of other places for this oil to go other than on this pipeline. What am I missing?
Two important points to that, Your Honor. The first point is that in order to be a good alternative, the alternative has to not only be something that can be used, but also something that can check Pegasus's ability to raise its rates above a competitive level.
So if Pegasus raises its rates, they're going to go elsewhere.
No, but see, Your Honor, this is the point of the netback analysis, okay. Because the problem is if Pegasus raises its rates, for example, in the looking at the first 10 months of 2007, it was calculated that Pegasus would be able to raise its rates by $4.50. Mm-hmm. There is nobody else. Raise it above its current tariff rate.
Right. Well, okay, that's a separate problem, which is assuming that's the competitive rate strikes me as a dubious premise to begin with.
Okay, and I will get to that in just one moment, okay. Your Honor. But first, on this first point, the point being that Pegasus could raise its rates anywhere between its current tariff rate and the $4.50 that it could get under market-based rates. And the alternatives in the upper Midwest market can't compete with that because they don't have the ability to arbitrage that differential to the Gulf Coast. And so the shipper is still, up until 4:49, going to choose Pegasus over the upper Midwest alternatives because the upper Midwest alternatives can't provide them that netback. So as long as they're getting a penny more netback from Pegasus than they are from the upper Midwest alternatives, they're not going to choose those. And that is why the commission found that they weren't good alternatives, because they wouldn't check Pegasus's ability to increase its rates. That would be 369% increase in its rates. And this goes
increase over the...
Right. And this goes to the second point, Your Honor. And the second point, Your Honor, which is critical with respect to the use of the tariff rate, is that this is not just about market-based rates in the abstract. Farmers Union says that you have to have just and reasonable rates, that the commission is not allowed to just rely on market forces. The commission must be assured that the rates will be just and reasonable. And that is why the commission was focused upon the tariff rate, because the tariff rate had been found to be just and reasonable, and also found
to be... That doesn't mean it's the only just and reasonable rate, which
no,
is
Your Honor,
what you're saying.
But the point is, the commission found that the ability to increase that just and reasonable and also cost recovering rate, there was evidence that it was also recovered their costs, that the ability to increase that rate by 369%, the commission could not find that would result in a just and reasonable rate. That is the issue, is that it's not just whether you have a market clearing rate of a certain amount and that would be the market-based rates, but it's also that the commission must be assured that rate is just and reasonable. And the commission...
But if it's a competitive market, I just view the pegging of this to the regulated rate to be a distraction. It's really whether there's a competitive market, which is your other argument, and I take your other argument on that point.
The commission accuses, perhaps rightly, the petitioners of circular reasoning, but the commission seems to be circular itself when the whole concept of just and reasonable rate comes from the difficulty of ascertaining what is a proper rate for the market, and then you use that as your benchmark to determine that another rate is improper. That seems to be equally circular. Maybe it's inescapable, but
Your Honor, they certainly pointed out the fact that the petitioners were unable to come up with any alternative rate. They couldn't determine what the short-term rate was, and so their solution was you just can't have a netback analysis. But what the commission's fundamental point was, and you can see this on the in the order on initial decision at paragraph 19, 1197, and also in the initial decision, paragraphs 25 to 27, 1074 to 75, is that a competitive rate, not a market clearing rate, not something that you can charge because there happens to be disequilibrium in the market, but a competitive rate is a price that is close to marginal cost, including a normal return on investment. And that is why the commission was saying that's how you look at a competitive rate. It's not whatever the market will bear in the short term in a market that is in disequilibrium because there is this scarcity of pipeline capacity between the upper Midwest and the Gulf Coast.
What is the analysis that tells us the consistency between that and the economic determination that the ability to capture the scarcity rent influences the market in positive ways by bringing in competition? Did FERC give us an explanation of the consistency between what you just said and that principle? Because FERC has in the past adopted that as well.
That's right, Your Honor, but the commission said that fundamentally it is governed by the requirement that you determine that the rate that will result from the market-based rate authority will be adjusted in reasonable rate. The tariff is adjusted reasonable rate and a competitive rate because it provides price close to marginal cost plus a normal return on investment, and they couldn't find that a rate 369% in excess of that would, and the burden again is on the petitioner. Well, it was on the petitioner to show that that would be a just and reasonable rate, and they made no such showing.
Okay, tell me why this is wrong. As I understand it, there's a lot of oil that is going to go from the upper Midwest, from Western Canada to the Gulf Coast, and your suggestion is that, well, because this one pipeline is the way for it to get there, that it's got to be regulated. But it turns out that there are all these other places that this oil can be sold. There are other places that it can go. So this pipeline to the Gulf Coast is just one option among many. If all the oil from Western Canada went to the Gulf Coast and there was one pipeline, I get it. But there are other places this goes. Now, what am I missing?
Again, Your Honor, that goes to the point that the upper Midwest, the shippers can't get the price.
It's a slightly more attractive option right now among many competitive options. We'd really like to get, but there, I don't know if that defeats the idea that there's competition in this market. It strikes me there's huge competition. And only a small amount of this oil, if I've got it correct, again, correct me if I'm wrong, only a small amount actually goes to the Gulf Coast. Is that true?
That's right, Your Honor. Pegasus is a small percentage of the oil coming into the
a
upper
straw
Midwest.
A straw, right.
Yeah. But the point is that nobody in the upper Midwest can offer shippers anywhere near the netbacks they can get on Pegasus. And so Pegasus is always going to be their first choice.
It would be great if all the shippers had to get it to the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
Totally with you.
Yeah, but Your Honor, they're always going to pick Pegasus. They're always going to pick the Gulf Coast because they can make more money doing that. And a sign of that is if you consider Suncor, who is
That brings us back, though, to the function of a competitive rate is to cause the rate to go to the point A function, cause the rate to go to the point at which competition is drawn into the market. If you're not making any money piping oil from the upper Midwest to the Gulf Coast, nobody's going to want to get in. If you're making a lot of money doing it, a lot of people are going to want to get in.
Absolutely.
That seems pretty basic.
Absolutely, Your Honor. But the point is you have to know not only that they are going to be able to collect this 369% premium over their cost, but that constitutes a just and reasonable rate. And the commission could not find that kind of increase over a just and reasonable cost recovering tariff rate is a just and reasonable rate.
I ask one question. Was the commission here intending to depart from its prior decisions or not?
Not at all, Your Honor. Not at all. And that goes back
that
to the question.
I'm going to interrupt, but it brings to a background question on that. Since the commission, both in the distinguishing of its prior precedent and in the possible justification of the future competition point, seems to be now relying on the ALJ in ways that it did not adopt. To what extent can we consider that to be an adequate explanation? The ALJ's explanation would be adequate.
Well, Your Honor, several things
now,
about
back to answering his question, but bring mine in while you're at it.
Okay. Well, on the adoption point, let me just say, I'll get to the potential competition issue in a moment, but with respect to the netback analysis, let me just point out that the commission in the order on initial decision at paragraph 9, 1195, said the ALJ engaged in a thorough analysis and appropriately determined that Pegasus Pipeline possesses market power. That, to me, sounds like adopting the thorough analysis with regard to Pegasus' market power. In addition, the commission expressly affirmed the use of the tariff rate, which is order on initial decision in paragraph 22-1198, and also affirmed the netback analysis, which is order on initial decision in paragraph 43-1205. And so the commission adopted the ALJ's thorough analysis and her conclusions with regard to these issues. So I say that there is no issue about that. But let me just say this, too. The commission in the hearing order actually lays down the premise for exactly why none of these arguments with regard to the precedent should trouble you at all here. In the hearing order, the commission talks about the fact that its precedent in Colonial, in Shell, and in TE Pipeline Products Pipeline, which were 2000 and 2003 cases, expressly require that a netback analysis be shown in order to show that the alternatives are good in an origin market where they are protested. Now, the distinction here is, and those cases all post-date Explorer and Longhorn, so if there were any issue about what the commission requires with regard to origin markets, it was decided by then. But the other issue is the commission says that's only true if there is reasonable doubt about the origin market definition. And the ALJ expressly said at paragraph 32 of the initial decision at 1077 that Explorer and Longhorn were cases where there wasn't found to be that kind of reasonable doubt about whether or not the origin markets and the destination markets were competitive.
If we were to disagree with you and come to the conclusion that the commission had not adequately distinguished this case from the precedent, what would the commission do then? Is there some other explanation for coming up with this conclusion?
Well, Your Honor, the commission discusses all of this in the hearing order. It's not that there is no discussion of these matters. I mean, it's in the hearing order at paragraphs 20 and 22 and 23 at your joint appendix at 437 and 38.
The question I asked your opposing counsel, is there an argument that there's something so unique about this situation that it presents a new circumstance that would justify these departures?
Well, certainly, Your Honor.
You don't buy the premise of that, I
think. It is distinguishable easily from Explorer and Longhorn, which was the point that the ALJ was making and goes to the commission's point about there being reasonable doubt. Because, for example, in Explorer, they did a corridor analysis. And in that corridor analysis, they found there were 5 pipeline routes that went between the Gulf Coast and St. Louis. There were 8 pipeline routes that went between the Gulf Coast and Chicago. So there was plainly competition that doesn't exist here because nobody but Pegasus.
Can I ask this question? I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Which is before, and tell me if the question is flawed, but before the flow of Pegasus was reversed, was the market competitive?
It was, Your Honor, because everybody paid the Upper Midwest prices. The question is, when you had the netback analysis goes to the fact that the prices in the Gulf Coast are much higher than they are in the Upper Midwest. That's the netback analysis. So as long as nobody was going to the Gulf Coast, there's no competitive issue there. But now there is. The introduction of the Gulf Coast as a potential market is what
made the introduction of a better
price.
That seems a non sequitur, counsel. Introducing a more successful competitor renders a previously competitive market non-competitive?
It renders
Pegasus able
to exercise market power. That's the question here, is whether Pegasus can exercise market power. And how do you exercise market power? By being able to maintain a price increase above competitive levels for a significant period of time. Competitive level being the just and reasonable level. And the commission...
There you go.
You're back in the circle, whatever.
Not at all, because again, the commission explained that a competitive rate is a price close to marginal cost such that you earn normal returns. And this is in the commission's order at 572 at 31180, and also this court's precedent in Tejas at 908 Fed Second at 1004. It's not just that a competitive rate is whatever can be charged in the market. The competitive rate is a price close to marginal cost, including a normal return. And the commission's finding was what Pegasus would be able to recover here, 369% in excess of its just and reasonable tariff rate, the commission could not find met that standard. The commission could not find that it met the standard of being a competitive rate as described by this court in Tejas.
We have gone past your time now, counsel. Thank you. We'll give petitioner back 2 minutes. Well, you had over 2 minutes. Give him 3 minutes, Drew Bush.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll try to be brief. I think we just heard for the last 15 minutes that, in fact, the FERC has or is now suggesting that it's changed its policy, that the principle underlying the market-based rate regime is not that you have to find a just and reasonable benchmark rate in order to determine netbacks. It is that if you determine there's competition, the resulting rates are by definition just and reasonable. And a fundamental, to go to your question, Chief Judge Sentell, that it can't be, you can't reconcile the argument that competitive rates must be the ones that equal marginal costs over the long term, which is what the tariff rate is supposed to be replicating, because if that's true, you won't have significant price spikes. The whole point of the price spikes rationale is that there are market dislocations that signal others to enter to meet the unmet need to drive the price back into equilibrium. But in those instances where you have the spikes, of course the competitor, the entrant, is going to be able to charge more than marginal costs. That's what signals other people to come in and compete for that rent. Your Honors, also, I don't believe it's accurate to suggest that the hearing order has adequately explained away the relevance of Explorer and Longhorn. That was before all the evidence was in, and we'd made our arguments about what the evidence showed. And finally, Your Honors, I would just say that there is this fundamental circularity about saying nobody can compete with us because nobody can match the arbitrage opportunity that we offer. That's exactly what was true in Longhorn and in Explorer. And in fact, notwithstanding the assertion that it's a true assertion that there were multiple pipelines at issue, but it was still the case that the commission accepted the premise that there could be seasonal price differentials that would allow rent capturing, and it nevertheless said that was permissible for all the reasons we've been discussing this morning. The court has no further questions.
Okay, thank you, counsel. The case is submitted.